A reading from the second book of Maccabees. It happened that seven brothers were with their mother and were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. Most admirable and worthy of everlasting remembrance was the mother, who saw her seven sons perish in a single day, yet bore it courageously because of her hope in the Lord. Filled with a noble spirit that stirred her womanly heart, she exhorted each of them in the language of their ancestors with these words, "I do not know how you came into existence in my womb. It was not I who gave you the breath of life, nor was it I who set in order the elements of wheat of which each of you is composed. Therefore, since it is the Creator of the universe who shapes each person's beginning and brings about the origin of everything, God in His mercy will give you back both breath and life because you now disregard yourselves for the sake of God's law." Antiochus, suspecting insult in her words, thought he was being ridiculed. As the youngest brother was still alive, the king appealed to him, not with mere words, but with promises on oath to make him rich and happy if he would abandon his ancestral customs. He would make him his friend and entrust him with high office. When the youth paid no attention to him at all, the king appealed to the mother, urging her to advise her boy to save his life. After he had urged her for a long time, she went through the motions of persuading her son. In derision of the cruel tyrant, she leaned over close to her son and said in their native language, "Son, have pity on me who carried you in my womb for 9 months, nursed you for 3 years, brought you up, educated, and supported you to your present age. I beg you, child, to look at the heavens and the earth and see all that is in them. Then you will know that God did not make them out of existing things. And in the same way the human race came into existence, do not be afraid of this executioner, but be worthy of your brothers and accept death, so that in the time of mercy I may receive you again with them." She had scarcely finished speaking when the youth said, "What are you waiting for? I will not obey the king's command. I obey the command of the law given to our ancestors through Moses. But you, who have contrived every kind of affliction for the Hebrews, will not escape the hands of God." The Word of the Lord. This first reading of today from 2 Maccabees is one of those heart-wrenching stories that, I suspect, was an important source of inspiration during the first centuries of the Church, when waves of persecution and martyrdom forced believers to choose fidelity to God over self-preservation. In today's section from this Maccabean story, we find a grief-stricken mother who has just watched six of her sons be slaughtered rather than turn their backs on God. And now we find her whispering into the ear of the youngest son, who is about to be victim number seven of the king's raging ego. She's consoling her son, counsels him, and comforts him. It is a story of violence and hatred, yet it's also a story of faith and resistance. A story of a woman who stood by her children as mother and teacher, mater et magistra, until the end. And in the end, she too gave her life, joining her sons in God's eternal light. Mater et magistra. It is the title of one of Papa Giovanni, Pope John XXIII's social encyclicals, an image of a church that stands near her children, especially those who are persecuted, threatened with violence and death, those seeking light and hope in the midst of the dark night. What a beautiful image of the church, Mater et Magistra, Mother and Teacher. On this day in which we commemorate the dedication of the Basilicas of St. Peter and Paul here in Rome, let us take a few minutes to consider the Church as Mater et Magistra. In today's story from the Book of Maccabees, we find a mother whose words are filled with humility and wisdom and deep faith. I see her, this mother, as a humble person because she's willing to admit that she does not understand entirely how God's plan unfolds in us and in the world around us. I do not know how you came into existence in my womb, she says to her son. It was not I who gave you the breath of life. It is the creator of the universe who shapes each one's beginning and brings about the origin of everything. She knows that her seven sons were born from her womb, but it's a mystery, and it's not one that she pretends to be able to explain fully. She's willing to remain humble before the mystery. I do not know how you came into existence. What great humility. I think that our church, our spiritual mother, is at her best when she teaches us how to remain humble before the great mysteries of life and death, the mystery of God and eternal things. When speaking with unflinching certitude, our Mother Church has burned heretics and fought wars and closed the doors to the dialogue which creates communion and peace. This Maccabean mother of seven, I think, is also a woman of great wisdom, because she points beyond herself. She points beyond the material proofs and scientific solutions that the world sometimes sells so cheaply. It was not I who gave you the breath of life, she says, nor was it I who set in order the elements of which each of you is composed. I beg you, my child, look at the heavens and the earth and see all that is in them. Then you will know that God did not make them out of existing things. This Mater et Magistra is wise because she doesn't seek to give her son easy answers. She points to the heavens. She invites him to seek and to ask and to search, to discover God through his own journey and his own questions. She's right there with him, never very far away. She counsels him without turning the experience of faith into a religion of easy, fundamentalistic answers. I think that our church is Mater et Magistra when she points to God, when she whispers in our ears and hearts, telling us of her own ancient story and encounter with God, her own experience of the mystery, and then sets us free to follow the deeper voice of God in our hearts. In her conversation with the youngest son, she does not oblige or force him to lay down his life for God. She simply points to the great mystery, the mystery of God, the one who shapes each person's beginning. And then she leaves the rest up to the Lord. I think the church is at her best when she wisely points out the way and then steps back, allowing us to become mature adult Christians, not servile children who just do what Mama says. And finally, the mother of the Maccabean brothers is a woman of great faith. God, in his mercy, she says, will give you back both breath and life. This is what she whispers to her son in his final moments, and then says, do not be afraid of this executioner, but be worthy of your brothers, and accept death, so that in the time of mercy I may receive you again with them. She has passed on the faith of the ancestors as well as she can. She's not afraid to share her faith with her children. But she also knows that each has to walk his or her own path. As did Jesus so many times, she speaks those great words of consoling, faithful love. Do not be afraid. God will be merciful. This is a mother who knows that there is darkness on the road to God. She cannot walk that road for her son. In fact, a few verses later, she will have to walk the same road herself. But she encourages her son, like Mary's quiet, faithful presence at the foot of the cross. Mater et Magistra. Is this not the church at its best? Faithful, steadfast in the time of doubt and darkness? Is this not the faith upon which the Church of Rome, the Church of Peter and Paul and the martyrs, was built? I do not ask the Church to give me all the answers to life's mysteries. Christ certainly didn't do that with his disciples. It is enough for me that she be Mater et Magistra, humble, wise, and faithful. The journey itself, well, you and I will have to discover that part for ourselves.